morning with Scott Bradley, and this is the Cheers Net podcast. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by Forest Precision Engineering. And I hope you all had a fantastic Christmas. And I'm over the moon to be joined by Colin Armstrong. Colin, how are we?
Yeah, I'm very well, Scott. Yeah, hi, very good. Happy after that yesterday. So we'll see where it takes us over the next few weeks. But yeah, good. Yourself?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. You have a good Christmas?
Quiet, as it always is when you get to this kind of age. So yeah, in fact, so quiet it was just me in the morning. So my son's now living in Australia. He's over there for a year. So he obviously he's not here. My daughter was working and my wife was working. So on Christmas morning it was just me and the dog. So a very sort of a different experience from previous years. But yeah, it was good.
No, that's good, mate. I came back from Tenerife over a week ago, mate. So I was away in the sun for 7 days. It was brilliant. Then come back to reality in Scotland, and it's my hands away now, mate. It went away after a few days. But we've got a jam-packed show for you today. And as we just said there, Rangers won yesterday. They beat Motherwell 1-0 at Ibrox, back to winning ways. Colin, it was quite an interesting game, to be honest. We were just talking off air. I didn't think it was a great Rangers display by any means. But Rangers did create chances. But what did you make of the performance overall?
Overall, we deserved that. I think overall, it was actually not a bad performance. I think we're seeing consistently the issues in the team. And I think, you know, we kind of discussed that off air. You know, that final third is causing a problem. I think Motherwell, go to gear them. They're a good team at the moment. You know what I mean? I thought they played well first half hour, first 20 minutes, half hour. I thought they were the better team. Obviously, they've had a few chances, and Butland's, you know, he's had to make a few good saves. But, you know, when I was looking at the stats yesterday, I think we had 13 shots on target. Towards the end, we had so many chances to kill the game off. I think it's a good 3 points, and I think overall it's a decent performance. And we'll see what it takes us. You know, I always felt December was going to be a sticky month. You know, I think Rowe, since he came in, has done a good job. It's sometimes a hard watch, you know, it's no entertaining, and understand sometimes the fans' frustrations, but I think quietly he's winning games and doing a job for us. You know what I mean? I thought we were a wee bit unlucky last week at Tynecastle. You know, I think what's killed us is the reaction to going a goal down. You know, again, I thought we were the better team the first half hour. We go a goal down and, you know, we just go to pieces. If that doesn't happen, we might get a result that game last week. But overall, I think he's doing a job. And, you know, obviously, I felt December was a month we just had to try and get through with as little damage as possible, just to stay in touch with Celtic and Hearts, and then try and get bodies in January and see where that takes us. But I think the main issue is that final third, and I think that showed yesterday, you know, with so many chances and to only get one goal, you know, I think that's the area we need to strengthen.
No, definitely. I completely agree. But defensively, Rangers have been pretty solid as of late under Danny Rowe. That's 6 clean sheets out of the last 9 for Rangers. But as you said, the final third, Rangers are just utterly hopeless. And we were saying off air as well, like, Rangers have not replaced Tierney, Eggerman and Dessers. That's 60-plus goals out the team. And I just want to ask you this as well, Colin Shermitti. I think it's safe to say the move has been a complete and utter disaster. Yesterday, I thought he was painful to watch. He's only scored 2 goals since he arrived in the summer. Do you think there's any hope for this guy? Because I don't. I think he's finished.
I thought he was okay yesterday. See, on more than one occasion, I think his actual overall play is pretty decent. The biggest issue is he just doesn't pose a goal threat. I thought he was a wee bit unlucky with a chance in the second half yesterday. His wee back heel, the keeper got a hand to it. But just overall, I mean, I don't even think it's just Shermitti. You know, even Miowski, you know, we just lack a goal threat. Even in the wide areas, you know, Gassama and obviously Antman's out injured at the moment. Those boys haven't really turned it on since sort of the early part of the season. So just overall, you know, I mean, obviously, I think a lot of the focus is on Shermitti because of the fee, you know, and where Thelwell gets $8 million for this boy is staggering. And to me, that's the biggest problem with the lad. You know, it's if we'd brought him in under the radar, put him into the development team and all that kind of stuff and tried to introduce him to the first team, I don't think he would be getting quite as much heat as he's getting at the moment. But to spend $23 million when he was at Everton on him, and then to bring him up here for $8 million, so that's over $30 million on a guy that scored 3 goals, 4 goals in the last 3 years. It's a strange one. It really is. It baffles me to this day. But I try and know get put that on. It's not the boys' fault that we've paid 8 million for him. You know what I mean? I do think he's contributing. He's not contributing enough. And as I said, he's not as posing a goal threat for us. But we'll see where he ends up. I mean, we need goals. I don't think anyone we've got there at the moment, maybe outside Miofsky, I still think I've seen that he can score at this level. I still have hopes that he'll turn that around. But we need goals. And I still think there's a title there to be won for us. And if we've got, you know, realistic ambitions of doing that, then we need to address a lack of goals. And Chermiti's part of that problem because he just doesn't score enough goals.
No, absolutely agree. And you mentioned Gassama there as well, right? When he first arrived at Rangers, he was great. He was absolutely brilliant, so he was. And then over the last 2 or 3 months, he's really took a nosedive in his form. But I will say, second half of yesterday, when he got moved right-hand side, he was a lot better, I thought.
Yeah, I thought, who was it they brought on second half? Moore. When they brought Mikey Moore on and they put the switch to Gassama, I thought we got a wee bit more out of him. He has. I mean, his form's fell off a cliff. But because we've seen him perform, you know what I mean? I've still not given up again. I've still not given up hope on Gassama, Antman and Asgard. I think there are players there. They're obviously going through difficult periods at the moment. People point at the new recruits and the boys that come in the summer. I also think there's a lack of leadership there. I just think the guys that are in there, the experienced guys that are supposed to be leading the team, are letting us down hand over fist. I thought Tav was poor again yesterday, really, really poor. Obviously, Butland had a mistake last week, had a good game yesterday. The likes of Diamandi and Raskin, just not doing enough for me. They're not doing enough, in my opinion. So there's issues all around the team. You know, I don't think we can just point at the recruits that came in the summer. You know, I think we have to see and look at the guys that were already there and are they doing enough? And I don't think they are at the moment. But again, we'll see what comes in January. You know what I mean? Because as I say, I genuinely believe if we address a lack of goals, because we're defending well at the minute. You know, you pointed out the number of clean sheets that Danny Rose managed. You know, if we address the lack of goals, then, you know, we saw yesterday Hearts will drop points. Celtic, I think, are a wee bit of an unknown quantity at the moment. You know they can be disastrous. We'll see what comes. We don't really know enough about the new manager yet. You know, they might click, and if they click, then they'll probably be favourites. But at the moment, you know, if we win that game in hand, we're only 6 points behind the Hearts. We're in it, and if we can address that issue in the final third, lack of creativity and the lack of goals, then you just never know.
And I think one of the big positives from yesterday was Conor Barron. I think he's been excellent under Danny Rowe as of late. He's just got such a great engine in that midfield, and of course he got man of the match. But Conor Barron, though, he's been a huge positive since Danny Rowe's came into the club.
Yeah, well, I mean, Conor Barron probably supports the arguments to say that, you know, the likes of Asgard and Gassama might still be able to produce something, because there was a time there, I mean, Conor Barron came in and performed really well when he first arrived at the club and then kind of fell out of the team completely. You know, he just completely lost his way and now he's back in. He's performing well. I mean, again, he adds to that issue in terms of a lack of creativity, you know, because in the final third, especially shooting, it's pretty abysmal. So you're not looking at him as someone that's going to give you maybe, you know, between 5 and 10 goals for the middle of the park. He's just not going to do that. But in terms of breaking up the play, in terms of, you know, identifying danger, I mean, that goal line clearance at Kilmarnock a couple of weeks ago, when you see that he takes a corner, you know, he takes a corner, Kilmarnock break, and he's the guy that gets back and clears it off the line. So, yeah, he's been really, really good of late. I thought he was man of the match yesterday. We were sort of having a wee discussion in the pub after the game. Some were going for Butland. I thought Conor Barron was the best man in the park yesterday. So, yeah, but, I mean, he's I think he's a big part of the clean sheets. I think he's protecting that back four pretty well, but he's offering none at the other end of the park. So, again, it's that sort of area of the park we need to address. But, no, Barron's been good of late, and long may it continue.
And that's one thing about Conor Barron, as I was saying, he's got a fantastic engine, like he can just run non-stop for you, but technically he's not the greatest footballer out there, put it that way. But no, he's been brilliant as of late. And I don't think that's a
bad thing, you know, knowing a player's limitations. See, when I look at someone like Neil Lennon when he was at Celtic, you know, a guy that literally couldn't run the length of himself, you know, he wasn't the fittest, but he'd done a job, he knew what his job was, and he'd done it well. And Conor Barron can do that for us. You know, I think sometimes as a support overall, we're guilty at looking at what players don't provide. You know what I mean? What we should be looking at is what they're good at and what they are providing, and letting the manager deal with the other issues. And Conor Barron right now is good at what he does. You know, I think, as I said, I think he's a big part of the reason that we're defending so well at the moment. I think he breaks up the play really well. I think in the first third, in the sort of middle of the park, he uses the ball well. Once you get into that final third, no so much. But yeah, he does a job, and that's all you can ask of the boy.
Oh, definitely. And obviously, you mentioned Jack Butland as well. That game against Hearts was a disaster for him, but he bounced back well yesterday. And here's a question for you, Colin, right? Obviously, last season, Butland was terrible, probably our worst player. And I couldn't believe how bad he was last year. But this year, he's been a totally different player. He's been excellent. In my opinion, I think he's been Rangers' best player this season, even though he's had a couple howlers here and there, obviously Hearts, last week. But Jack Butland's contract's up at the end of the season. Would you be giving him a new deal?
I think it's a dodgy one. I really do. I think it's a tricky one for Danny Rowe to look at, because, I mean, after that one last week, I mean, I thought that's genuinely a shocker, I think, last week. I think it's been underplayed, just how bad a goalkeeping error that is. Because his foot's in the right place to start with. He just needs to keep his left foot planted and he clears the ball. You know, Laurent Shankland isn't expecting to score there. He's hoping to get a corner at best. He's just trying to get a shot away and either get a corner or a throw in high up the park. And for Butland to move his foot and then try and dive and say the more I've seen it, the worse it got. You obviously had the one in the semi-final against Celtic as well. You won with Callum McGregor. I thought that was a really, really poor error. So he's got he never had that in his game when he first arrived. You know, that first season when he arrived at Rangers, you know, there were points that I thought, you know, he's as good a shot stopper as McGregor, and he's better at commanding his box than McGregor. So arguably you're thinking, we might have actually signed a keeper that's better than Alan McGregor here, and I never thought I would say that. But obviously, last season was just atrocious. Some of the mistakes he made last season were really poor. Obviously, he's fell out the team at one point as well, completely. So, yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I think we're in the market for a keeper in the summer. I really do, because I just think, you know, when you look at the two domestic defeats that Danny Rowe suffered, it's two mistakes from him. You know what I mean? And I just think we need better, especially again, you know, I always feel that a team should have a good spine, you know, solid keeper, solid centre-half, a solid centre midfielder, and someone that's going to score you, you know, 20, 30 goals a season. And I'm not convinced that we have any of that at the moment. You know, I look at our goalkeeper and there's a mistake in him. I look at the likes of Suter and I just don't think he's the answer at all. You know, Raskin and Diamande, again, I think Raskin's throwing it in this season. He just frustrates the hell out of me. Diamande, likewise, he's just been nowhere near the levels that we know he's capable of producing. And up front, we've already spoken about. You know what I mean? So I think we need real, solid, experienced pros and right up the spine of that team. And I don't think we have it. And I do think that Butland's part of the issue now. And it's one for the club to decide, but if it was my decision, I think the club should be looking at other options and seeing what's out there. There might not be anything available. You might not be able to get someone in the price range that we want to pay that's as good as Jack Butland. But at this present moment in time, I think Rangers and Celtic have two very dodgy goalkeepers who have got moments in them that are going to give you goals. So yeah, having grown up, I mean, most of my life, you know, from Chris Woods onwards, Rangers have been, you know, excellent at discovering goalkeepers and signing really, really solid goalkeepers. I'm not convinced Jack Butland's in that category, I've got to be honest with you. Yesterday, I mean, one of the saves in the second half was outstanding, and that's great, you know, that he's got that in his makeup, but he's also got these howlers. And every goalkeeper's got a howler, but I think his happened too often. You know what I mean? So I think the club should be looking elsewhere.
No, I do think you make a good point in terms of, like, see, when it comes to big moments, Jack Butland, it's failed. I mean, even like Scottish Cup final from last year as well, that howler right towards the end of the game, where Celtic obviously went on to win it. And the Hearts game last week as well, it's like big moments where he doesn't, the big games, that's where he doesn't really turn up. But when it comes to games against the great Motherwell, etc., like, that's where he thrives. So that is a big concern for me going forward, Colin.
I mean, I think, again, as supporters, sometimes we're guilty of not recognising that football players are human beings. They've got frailties, they've got issues, they've got personal stuff going on in their lives. So obviously, there was something going on last season when his child was born. There was stuff going on. So you don't know where he is mentally. You know what I mean? You don't know what's going on in his life that's maybe affecting his performances. If Jack Butland had been producing that, the type of form he displayed in that first season, I don't think there's a question. You know what I mean? You keep him. In fact, I think if I think back, we were all worried within the first few months that we were going to lose him, that someone was going to come in and spend good money on him and take him away. And then slowly but surely, you know, the mistakes started to creep in, and then they became more frequent. And he's never, last season I think was a bit of a write-off for him. I think we all hoped that this season, whatever the issue was last season, he would get over it and start to produce better form. And I would say he has. He's certainly in a better space than he was last season. But these errors are happening too often. And the issue is they're happening, as you say, they're happening in big games. You know, for large periods of that semi-final, with 10 men, especially in the second half, we were the better team. We were the team pushing. We were the team that looked like we were going to, you know, go on and win it. We take it to extra time. I think Celtic, you know, obviously started that stage of extra time probably a wee bit stronger. It was always going to be hard for us being down to 10 men. But, you know, you're hoping that at the very least you can take it to penalties. And then Butland just, I mean, it's inexplicable how he lets that one go in. And then you're chasing it then. You're chasing the game with 10 men and Celtic get the third and kill it off. Last week, you know, we conceded a goal 5 minutes for half-time. You know, so that's when you're looking for your leaders to say, right, just get to half-time. Because we know what Tynecastle's like. You know, the place would have been bouncing, they're up for it. The minute they get the goal, the place is rocking. So it's then about just getting to half-time. Just get to half-time. And he's the sort of player that you're looking to be leading in that, to doing that, right? Let's get to half-time, get in, regroup, see what the manager's saying and go again second half. And to do that, and that kills the game. You know what I mean? You know, especially when you consider the lack of goals at the other end of the park. You know, I feel at the moment if Rangers go two down, that's it. They're not going to come back. So the minute that second goal went in last week, it felt like the game was done. So those are two instances in big games that have cost us. You know what I mean? So for me, I think we should be in the market for a replacement in the summer. Whether Danny Rowe thinks that is another question.
And yesterday, just back to the game, Colin, Rangers finally opened the scoring at the 67th minute, thanks to Teal Asgard, slotting away from the rebound. Asgard has been an interesting one. Obviously, he's come under a lot of criticism as of late. I think it is justified. I'm not convinced by him at all, Colin. He's had one or two good moments. That's really all about it. But what is it that you see in him? Because obviously a lot of Rangers fans have already written him off. I don't think he will come good. I hope I'm wrong, I really do. But what is it you're seeing in Asgard where you're like, yeah, there's something there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we saw a couple of moments yesterday. You know, he can get the ball, he can run at people, he can beat players. He was unlucky in the first half for a good effort. You know, really good feet, you know, getting past a couple of boys and getting a shot away. The problem, again, he's just not been shown it consistently enough. Now, wee snippets here and there are fine, but a club like Rangers, you know, you need to produce in week in, week out, you know what I mean? And I don't think you can say that about Asgard. You know, he has been a disappointment. But again, it's, you know, I've heard so many stories over the years of players coming to Rangers and just the size of the place and the weight of expectation and players struggling with that initially, you know what I mean? It takes some longer than others to adapt to the, and some never adapt, and he might be one of those. He might never adapt to the you know, the expectations and the pressure that comes with playing for the Angels. I'm still hopeful that there might be something. I've heard people say, you know, he's got the heart of a mouse and all the rest of it. I was reading his interview today. There was a good interview today, and I think it was in the Rangers Review, and he's saying all the right things for me. You know, he's talking about learning for this experience. He's admitting he's found it tough, you know what I mean? I felt he was open and honest, and I prefer that for players. You know, players putting their hands up and saying, I'm finding it hard, I'm struggling, but I'm determined to make it work and all the rest of it. And so, again, you've just got to see how he reacts. You know, moments like yesterday, He was unlucky with that effort in the first half. He obviously got his goal. He had one after the goal as well. You know, he had a shot and goal. I think the Motherwell keeper had a good save. You know, he could have had a couple of goals yesterday. And it's moments like that that bring confidence to players. And then you might get a chance to see what he could bring. So, I think Rowe might stick with him. We'll just have to wait and see. But I think there might be a player there. But he needs to adapt to how big this club is. He needs to adapt to the expectations and the demand and the Saturday, Wednesday. He needs to adapt to the fact that we're the most despised football club in Scotland. You know what I mean? And with that comes different expectations. And I think one or two of them are struggling to adapt to that. I don't think they've quite got, you know, what this club's all about. We just need to wait and see whether they can, you know, adapt to it and start to play. But I'm hopeful for Asgard, but he needs to start producing pretty soon.
No, I completely agree. And obviously January's approaching very soon, Colin. And there will be players that will be leaving. There will be players that will be coming in. What players do you expect to leave Rangers in January? I think one who definitely is going to be off is Joe Rothwell. I'm really, really disappointed with how it's worked out, because when we signed Joe Rothwell, I was over the moon. I was like, this guy is a real deal. I spoke to a lot of Leeds fans. He said, Scott, he's brilliant. And all the stuff I've watched with Joe Rothwell, I was like, we want to watch here. And yeah, it's just not worked out. I don't think Danny Rowe rates him. He's barely gave him a sniff. But what players do you think will be off in January?
Well, outside of Rothwell, I don't know. I mean, and he has been poor. I mean, I was really, really hopeful that we'd, you know, unearthed one there. You know what I mean? We'd got ourselves a good player. He's one that I think his body language and his attitude has been really, really poor at times. You know what I mean? And you know, obviously some people have commented on his general physique and that he doesn't look fit. I don't know if he's fell into that category of boys that come up from England that think this will be a walk in the park kind of thing. You know what I mean? I'll stroll it up here only to find, you know, it's in a different way. It's a very difficult way to operate in, especially if you're playing for Rangers. So yeah, really, really poor. I mean, I was reading today, I would be disappointed if this was the case that, you know, there's talk of Cameron going out on loan, and I just feel for that guy. I really do. I mean, I'm not one who watches sports scene an awful lot, but towards the end of last season when we knew that Cameron was coming, you know, I was sitting there watching it every week just to watch the Dundee games to get a wee idea of it. And I thought he looked a great sign, and I thought, again, I thought we've got an absolute cracker here. And in some of the games he's played for us, he's looked good. You know what I mean? I just don't understand how he's not got more game time. If Rowe thinks he needs to go on loan to get game time, then, you know, that's what needs to happen. But I would be disappointed to see that, because I think there's a player there. In terms of the areas that I think we need to strengthen, I think we need another centre-half. I mean, we're fairly solid at the moment, but I think strengthening that area would be good. I mean, there's obviously talk of a number six coming in. I think we need a striker. We definitely need someone up there that's going to give us goals. And if you do that, if you bring someone in who's confident and scores goals, maybe that gets something out the boys on the wide areas as well. You know, maybe Gassama starts clicking. Maybe Ant-Man, when he comes back from injury, starts clicking. You know, because they've got something. Because it must be frustrating for the guys if they're putting the ball into the box and, like, nothing's happening. Do you know what I mean? The guy in the middle is not doing the business. So, yeah, I mean, again, a spine. I just think we need a spine in that team and see what it takes us.
And see, just going back to Chirmiti, obviously, I don't expect us to sell Chirmiti in January, because no one's going to want to touch him, if I'm being totally honest about it. But do you think a loan move for him could be beneficial? Well, because we've spent this amount of money on him, right? We've spent this money on him. So what if we loan him out, see how he does, then assess the situation come the summer? Do you think that could be a possibility, that we loan him out in January?
Maybe, yeah, but it depends if you're bringing someone in. You know what I mean? It literally depends on who's coming in. I mean, a lot of the talk that I've been, you know, the stuff that I've been reading, that Rangers aren't in the market for a striker in January. You know, they're looking at a number six, and, I mean, obviously left back's a bit in an area where we don't have a huge amount of cover either. So, I mean, I was surprised to read that, you know, I think it was Chris Jack or someone from the Rangers Review saying that, you know, they weren't in the market for a striker in this January window. So again, we'll just have to wait and see. I think that's the area we need to, more than most, we need to sort of target and fix. We'll just have to wait and see. But I mean, if we bring someone in who we know will add goals, then yeah, maybe a loan move for Chimay. Get him out, get him game time, get his confidence up and see what he brings. Again, I don't think he's as bad a player as a lot of people make out. I think the issue, as is always the case in these sort of scenarios, is the fee. There is nothing, there is absolutely nothing there to suggest he's worth £8 million. One of the guys I got to the game with, he made an excellent point on this. He says, you know, if Rangers pay £8 million for a player, it has to be the best player on the team, and arguably the best player in Scotland. You know what I mean? If you're paying that level of money, you have to be getting someone who's ready to go into that team and ready to perform at a high level and be, you know, taking us towards league titles and trophies and all that kind of stuff. He's not at that level yet. That's not to say the boy won't reach that level, but at this moment in time, he is nowhere near that level. And how Thirlwell thought it was worth £8 million of her. Again, it maybe points to him just totally misunderstanding what this football club's all about. You know what I mean? It's £8 million on him is an atrocious fee. And now it's, you know, Thirlwell's gone. He's away. He's absorbed of his responsibilities. And that weight is left on, you know, Chermiti to carry. That £8 million sort of weight is on his shoulders. And, I mean, it's hard to see how he'll ever live up to that. But I'm a wee bit more forgiven because I just look at him and think he's just a young player. He's got nothing to do with the fee. Let's see what he can give us. But yeah, it's that fee's going to kill him. You know, if anyone's going to kill his Rangers career, it's that fee, because no one can see that he's worth that.
No, I completely agree. And obviously, you mentioned Lyle Cameron earlier on there. Lyle Cameron, I feel sorry for him because he's been dealt a really bad hand, because it was Clement that signed him. And then since he's arrived at Rangers have had two different managers. But It was very interesting yesterday, the big DJ at half-time, Colin, yeah, giving that talk. I don't know if we'll be asked to do a half-time draw again after that, but he made a really interesting point where he was talking about how he was saying that obviously Rangers, when he played for Rangers, he played by 10 other obviously Scottish players. But one thing I will say as well, I feel as though Rangers are lacking that Scottish identity. Yeah. Same Celtic as well. And it's a shame because when you look at the Scottish national team, there's barely any Old Firm players in it. Like, yeah, it's just a handful. But if it was like 20 plus years ago, it was the Scottish national team is packed with Old Firm players. But I will say as well, Barry Ferguson, right, I didn't want him as manager, but he made a great point where he said if he got the job, he would have wanted to sign Scottish players, and that's what Rangers do need to go back to, in my opinion, as soon as possible. Try and get that Scottish identity, get that core back in the team.
Yeah, I think you need at least four of those. You know what I mean? It's Lauren Shankland, that's a shooty in for me. I mean, I think we should have went for him. I was arguing for us to sign him at Clement's first window a couple of years back. You know, I think we were talking about £2.5-3 million for him at the time. You know, and I don't think it was lack of goals that sort of unravelled Clement's title bid that year. It was the defence. The defence just started shipping goals. But, you know, if you've got someone in that team that's a proven goal scorer at this level, and as a Rangers man, I mean, that's another thing, you know what I mean? Someone who knows the club and wants to play for the club, I mean, that it's worth its weight in gold, you know what I mean? And to not bring him in, that's the sort of player I think that Walter Smith would have signed like that. You know what I mean? I think Lewis Ferguson would have been a player that Walter Smith would have signed like that. Kenny McLean, all that. These are the boys I think that someone like Walter Smith would have taken in a heartbeat, because he knows that they know the club, they want to play for the club, and they'll give you that wee bit extra, and they'll let the boys that are coming in that maybe don't know quite as much about Rangers as, you know, what it's about and what the expectations are and how they should be training every day and what it means to represent this club. If you don't have that in the dressing room, then, you know what I mean? I mean, if, you know, if Rangers go to Celtic Park next week and lose, I mean, how many people in that dressing room are going to be truly hurting? I mean, like, really hurting. I mean, they'll be pissed off. They'll not like it because they've lost a game of football. But how many are going to be living with it for, like, 3 or 4 days after? Like, really, really hurting. I don't think many. You know what I mean? I'm not even convinced you could put Tav in that bracket. I saw an interesting story on another podcast there. It was Arthur Newman talking about when Celtic beat us 5-1 in his first season. And he said, Dick Advocaat never got a word in after in the dressing room after the game, because Ian Ferguson just ripped through every single one of them. You know what I mean? Dutch internationalists, and he's tearing into them going, what was that today? Van Bronckhorst, that was shite. Newman, that was shite. You just don't understand what this club means to people. You don't understand what this fixture means. You know, giving them a hard lesson in the reality of what it is to play for Rangers. If we lose that game next week at Celtic Park, is there anybody there going round the players, letting them know, you know, how hard it is to stomach as a Rangers supporter to lose that fixture? I don't think so. So, I agree. I mean, the lack of Scottish players and the lack of, you know, Rangers men that, you know, that know the club and want to play for the club and want the club to do well, it hurts us. There's no doubt about that. It damages us.
I will say as well, though, I think Tav is one player who would be really hurting, because obviously I think you know my thoughts on James Tavernier. I'm a big fan of him, and I do think he has been dealt a really bad hand over the last 11 years with the teams that he's played in, because he doesn't sign the dross, and I feel as though if he was in a Barry Ferguson team, he would have thrived and he would have won so much more. But I do agree, the majority of these players don't really get it. The ones I could probably say would be really hurting would be Tav. I could put Butlin in there as well. But I put Raskin in there, I'm actually not too sure. But just off the top of my head, that's the only ones I think would be really hurting would be Tav and Butlin. But Conor Barron as well, he'll be another. So only three off the top of my head where I think they'll be seething if Rangers were to lose to Celtic. But there's a lot of those players, right? Don't get me wrong, I think a lot of these players are decent individual players, but it goes back to what you said earlier on. When you come up to Glasgow and you play for one of the old firm, you either sink or swim, and a lot of these players are sinking at this moment in time. Because you see a lot of players, like over the years, Joey Barton, Shane Duffy, just off the top of my head, good players down south, they come up here, doesn't work out at all, because for whatever reason, they can't handle the goldfish bowl of playing for the old firm.
Yeah, I think Joey Barton was another one, though, that fell into that category of thinking he would come up here and just walk it. You know, Joey Barton's attitude when he arrived at Rangers was I mean, he turned up late for pre-season because he was doing commentary in the World Cup or the Euros or whatever it was at that particular time. That showed you his state of mind and how he was looking at this league. He thought he was going to cakewalk it. But you're right. It goes back to what we were saying earlier on. There are plenty of players throughout history that have came to Rangers and Celtic that you would have thought would have been a perfect fit, and it's just for whatever reason it's not happened. It's whether it's the weight of the jersey, the expectation, whatever it is, they're difficult clubs to play for different reasons. You know, everyone, I mean, I grew up thinking must be great playing for Rangers, you know what I mean? You just go every, you're the best team, you just go score, win the game, win the trophies and all that. But it's what you're facing, you know. You're facing teams that are absolutely determined to beat you, because it's, you know, it's the old adage that it's their cup final kind of thing. And there's also the fact that, you know, we're not a very popular club either. So there's plenty of people out there that want to stick it to us. So as a Rangers player, that's what you have to be able to deal with. You have to be able to handle that week in, week out, even at grounds that you think you should just turn up and, you know, you've got the better team. If you don't match their effort and application and determination, then you'll come unstuck. So it takes a certain type of character to play for Rangers, I think, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying some of the players there don't have that. You know, they have to find whether they're capable of doing that, you know what I mean? And I think some of them are going through that process at the moment. But yeah, you need that. And we need players like that in the dressing room. Players that just don't give a fuck, basically. I mean, they don't care what comes at them. They can handle it and they'll deal with it. And, you know, they'll, 9 times out of 10, when they go on a football park, they'll come off at the winner.
And I just want to touch on Danny Rowe, Colin. And I don't want to use this cliche saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. But I think he does get it at Rangers. One thing that really impresses me about him is the fact that he's able to adapt to whatever situation that gets thrown at him. And so far, I think he's doing a fine job, because he's walked into a mess and he's getting results. He's getting results. They're no pretty at times, but we're winning and we're keeping clean sheets as well. But obviously he needs January and he needs to obviously get backed, but do you think Danny Rowe is going to be the right man to actually bring back the success to Rangers?
I mean, I think the early signs are positive. You know what I mean? And I agree with you. I think he definitely has an understanding of what it means to operate a big club. You know what I mean? He's been at Bayern, so obviously they're the biggest club in Germany. So he will have a total understanding of how a big club operates and having to deal with other people, you know, not liking that particular club. I mean, one thing about Danny Rowe that's throwing me at the moment, I mean, I've always been good at sort of having a stab at the team. Right, so every game you know on the WhatsApp, and you're never more than one, maybe two players out. Sometimes you get it bang on. I just cannot work out where Danny Rowe gets. I mean, that team yesterday threw me. See, when I looked at that team, I was like, "Where is that came from?" But it's not concerning me because he's getting results. You know what I mean? He seems to me that he's a coach that's not scared to sort of change the personnel, mix up the personnel, mix up the formations and the shape and all that kind of stuff. In game as well, you know, some of these substitutes, I heard somebody last week, his subs bug me, or I don't get it. And I'm thinking, I don't get them either, but it's working. You know what I mean? And also, if I'm not getting it, what chance has the opposition coach got? If 9 out of 10 people you're talking to are like, don't see where he's getting these teams from, and the opposition coach will probably be in the same boat. I mean, the last two teams he selected, I thought, were really, really defensive looking, you know, with three similar midfielders in Barron, Dio and Raskin. Real lack of creativity. And I do wonder if yesterday that all sounds strange. I think he's trying to manage minutes. You know, I don't think he wanted to give Mikey Moore another start. I think he wanted to give him less minutes in the game yesterday. So I think Danny Rowe was looking at Motherwell yesterday thinking, they're on a good run, 10 games unbeaten. Let's just stay in the game. You know what I mean? For the first half, first hour, stay in the game, control the game, and then in the latter stages of the second half, I'll bring on the more creative guys, and hopefully the game will have opened up by that point. That's only thing I can look, when I look at that team, because there's just a team that's already lacking goals. When you look at how he set up yesterday, I was just like, where are the goals coming from? So whatever it is he's doing, whether I'm right or wrong in my thinking there, whatever it is he's doing, he's getting results. You know, over the last 10 games, you know, when you look at the form table, we're the most consistent team. If he continues that form, we're in a title fight. There's no doubt about that. And if you consider that, the fact that we're even talking about this in December, you know, when you consider the start of the season and all the rest of it, I think that shows that the guy, you know, he's done really, really well with what he's got at his disposal. If he gets one or two in January, I think that obviously strengthens the squad and strengthens our chance of putting in a title fight. Then it's on to the summer window, you know, and, you know, what can happen then. Obviously, we need to find out if we're bringing in a permanent director of football and all that kind of stuff, and what the sort of recruitment strategy is going to be. But he strikes me as a coach that knows what he's doing. When you look at how we got him, you know, it was a bit shambolic. You know, Gerrard was coming back, and then it was Muscat, and then it was Gerrard again, or whatever it was, and then he came in like third choice. It kind of feels like we've stumbled on him a wee bit, but I am slowly but surely starting to think we've stumbled on a bit of a gem and someone that could bring us a wee bit of joy and a wee bit of success. And so, yeah, we'll find out. I mean, I'm looking at Hearts and Celtic above us at the moment. There's all the talk about Hearts. You know, can they win this title? I mean, they're playing well. You to be in the position they're in at the moment, you know, you have to say they've played superbly well. But they are starting to drop points here and there. And I just wonder if it come March, April, it could be about us and Celtic again. I don't know. Time will tell. I'm not trying to be disrespectful of Hearts, but I just think title fights and, you know, it's around about Easter. That's when you find out where we really are. I think Hearts yesterday, I mean, obviously they came back well, you know, 3-0 down. But they just had, of late, you just get a wee sense that they've got draws in them, that they've got the ability to drop points. Obviously, if you win that game in hand, we're 6 points, or 6 points behind them. You know, last week the league was over. You know what I mean? So it's not. There's some difficult games coming up. Obviously, St Mirren and Tuesday night will be tricky, and then obviously the game next week. So we'll just have to wait and see how we get on in those. But yeah, I think Danny Rowe, I'm slowly but surely starting to think we might have uncovered a bit of a gem there.
Oh no, definitely, Colin. And you mentioned obviously the Thouto race. I remember back in October, right after we sat Russell Martin, people were straight, when I said, oh, Rangers still have a chance to win this league, everyone was laughing at me, but yeah, look how the tide has turned now. But I will say this as well, though. The next two games, I think, are going to be massive, Colin, right? And I'll ask you this. See, if Rangers don't win the next two games, do you think the title race could be over at that point?
I mean, I think we need to win on Tuesday. You know what I mean? And that sets us up for going over the road. Again, I think Celtic at the moment, it's hard to say that the title race is over or not over, because you're also looking at the form of other teams. What are they doing? You know what I mean? So, I mean, we had the chance to sort of blow the title race wide open last week if we beat Hearts. You know what I mean? Good first half hour, and then we fall away enough and that opportunity goes. You know, if we lose next week to Celtic and then they go on a run, then that's probably the moment that, you know, that's became too much. You know, we would be 9 points behind them at that point. We get a draw next week, everything stays the same. So it's dependent on other teams. I'm still, you know, we're still waiting to see what this what nonsense is going to be like at Celtic. You know what I mean? Obviously, he had a horrendous start, which was obviously fun. Really enjoyable. But, you know, I'm old enough in the tooth to have seen plenty of managers come to clubs and have poor starts and then go on. And I mean, I've seen it at Rangers. You know what I mean? I've seen Rangers managers come in and have a horrific start and then by the end of the season, they're champions. So, he's a bit of an unknown quantity. Obviously, the quality of player at Celtic at the moment isn't what it's been in previous years. But again, if he's a good enough coach, he might get them clicking and you know, they could go on a run. I think the form that we've displayed over the last 10, 12 games under Danny Rowe, if we continue that to me, we'll be there or thereabouts. It's whether we continue that, because with the same issue with Clement, you know, he came in sort of October, November time, went on this great run, and then it was about February, March time. The wheels came off, and that's it. So we couldn't continue that form, and you know, we don't end up as champions. So that's the question. You know, can he continue it? But if he continues the current sort of form and moving forward, we're in a title race. It's going to be a hard title race because, you know, I don't think we're ever going to be the team that Danny Rowe wants, because he's only going to have the January window where he can bring in two or three, probably one or two of them, might even be loans. You know, there's talk of, what's his name? The boy that was Windass coming in on loan. So, I always feel the January window is a bit of a patch-up window. It's no when you're sitting down and planning out your season. This is if the recruitment had went well in the summer and the season had went better, you know, you're just looking to add to the bits where you think you need to strengthen. In this window, we're looking for a wee bit more than I think we would normally be looking for in the January window. You know what I mean? So it's what he can bring in January and see what it takes. But I'm interested to see what he can do in the summer. You know what I mean? And get the players that he thinks, because he must already, you know, when you think of the clubs that he's operated at, he must have a network of contacts and people and players that he knows who he thinks can come here and do a job. So, yeah, but we'll just have to wait and see what he can do in January, because it's a funny window, January. I prefer the old days, you know what I mean? When you needed a left back, you just went out and signed a left back, you know what I mean? And that was it. That's the transfer window thing. I struggle with at times, but that is what it is. And I just find the January window is always a bit of a tricky one. So
right, it's tedious.
Yeah, right. It's just, you know, obviously not everyone's looking for a move. Players are settled, all that kind of stuff. So we'll just have to wait and see what he can bring in. But yeah, I think I'm don't want to wish my life away, but I'm looking forward to see what he does in the summer. You know what I mean? Because I genuinely think he can continue the current form. I think we won't be a million miles away come May. And then it's all about what you can do in the summer window.
Oh, definitely, Colin. And just to finish off, what's your prediction for the next two games?
Oh, I mean, I think we'll win on Tuesday night against St Mirren. I mean, obviously they're buzzing now, you know, having won the cup against Celtic a couple of weeks back. But they've not quite, in terms of the league form, they've not quite been at the sort of same levels as they have in the previous seasons. but hopefully we'll get the 3 points next week. Again, I think it's a tricky one, you know, because I genuinely thought we were the better team for large parts of that game in the semi-final, even though we were down to 10. Obviously, it's at Celtic Park. It's, you know, I always feel in the Old Firm games, the home team starts favourite. So we're kind of up against it in that respect. But, you know, one or two of these players are due as a performance. And based on what I've seen of Celtic since Wilfred Nancy came in, there's mistakes there defensively, you know what I mean?
They're all over the place defensively. Like, up front, they're still a threat, but defensively, a mess.
I mean, they're creating chances. It's probably quite an end because we're defending pretty well at the moment. You know, they're creating a lot of chances, and we're not. We're creating chances, but not scoring them, and they're a mess defensively. So it'll be interesting, but we have to win Tuesday night first, you know, and then see where that takes us. But I don't think losing next week necessarily means the title race is over. You know, it depends on what Hearts do and what Celtic do. And I think both of them at this present moment in time are showing that they're dropping points. So, I mean, you look at last week, the league title was over. You know, that's it. Rangers are out of it. They've lost at Hearts, 12 points behind or whatever it is. 1 week later, we're back in it. So, no, I don't think anything's been decided next week.
Definitely, Colin. Andy, thank you very much for coming on, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And so on Friday, guys, John and Alan will be on the show to preview the Old Firm game. So thank you very much for watching. And until next time, have a fantastic new year and I'll see you soon. Cheers.